Do you feel like a radiant bride this morning? Kind of. I feel good. Through Jesus. Amen. We must believe. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. Praise God. We will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what the Word of God teaches. And that's going to be, that's what's going to face Christ one day. That radiant bride, as He calls us home, Jesus Christ is going to receive every bit of what He died for. It's not going to be any less than what He paid for. And He paid for everything that you and I will ever face. He paid for our failings. And actually, I don't even know if we fail. We look at it that way. But through the eyes of faith, God is able to see beyond that. Hopefully, we can look at that a little this morning. But, you know, I was thinking this morning, we all like when things go well, and we all like when our life is at least partly in control, or when we're in control of what's happening. But you know, I was thinking of the song this morning, what if blessings come through raindrops? What if healing comes through tears? What if it took 1,000 sleepless nights just to know that you're near? Would we still want to know God? What if the trials that we face in this life are His mercies in disguise? Could that be possible? It's not just by chance that we have sleepless nights at times. I believe God is using those just to let us know that He's still here. And our trials that He allows us to go through or appoint us to go through are not just for any way, but they're blessings in disguise. There's many times you hear people who walk through trials and come through their trials only to say that if it wouldn't have been for that, I don't know where I would be today. So there is very well a chance as you go through trials in your life that it is God's mercy on your life. I can say that very confidently this morning, that God has been merciful. If I had not been afflicted, I would have just taken my own way. That's a verse in Psalm, something like that. So I believe it's only right for us to recognize this morning, as God allows trials in our lives, it just may be His mercy on you to keep you. Got to look at the word faith this morning. What's the first thing you think of when you think of faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What else?
Believing in something you don't see.
Amen. That's right.
When we were in the hospital, I took faith because it was something that was totally out of our control in the trauma. And I didn't have anything else. We didn't have anything else.
God gave you a verse, right? That was it. By faith, you believe that. And another one is, by grace are you saved through faith, right? By grace are you saved through faith. Well, faith is a persuasion, like something you are confident, you're persuaded of. And it's even a lot of times maybe just based on other people's testimonies. We have faith in the Word of God. And a lot of that is just simply believing the testimonies of the heroes of faith. If God could do it then, he can do it now, right? But then why doesn't he do it at times? Why is faith doesn't always seem to work? Faith is not just some positive thinking and thinking that if we think of this in a positive way, you know, it's going to come to pass. It's not positive thinking. Faith is not just that you decide that a specific verse in the Bible would be a good verse and it sounds good verse to use in your situation because it maybe worked for someone else. I don't believe that we can just ride on someone else's testimony. Like, okay, that verse worked when he was going through this, so maybe that verse would work for me. It doesn't exactly work that way. I'll believe it when I see it. You hear that sometimes. Well, faith doesn't say that. John 20, verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing." You know, in that instance there, Thomas was like, "I won't believe it until I see it." Like, he's not going to believe what the other disciples were telling him unless he would see it. And Jesus just made it clear that, you know, because you saw, you believe. But blessed are those who have faith, basically. Like, blessed are those who believe and still don't see. So faith is really believing something that, in a sense, we don't have total evidence. Or, yeah, we don't see it. Because once you see it, then it's no more faith. Also, I was kind of, as I was thinking about faith, why is it in the fruits of the Spirit? Like, if faith is, how could we say, maybe the first thing it takes to come to God, it almost looks like it's just another, I mean, it comes after gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Why is faith not maybe more set apart as if you don't have faith, you know? But we can read a lot about faith. Faith has a lot of verses, like we heard. It's impossible to please God without faith. So what is faith? And faith is not something big and impossible to grasp. It's not some big moment that, how would you say, that's not able to be grasped by everyone. You know, we think of the heroes of faith and Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Daniel and the three Hebrew children, and, you know, through faith. It wasn't like they had something super special than anybody else was able to have. It was just simply they believed in a God that was able. That's what it was. It was what they believed in. They had faith in God. So this morning, and even Jesus said, you don't need that much faith. It's as a grain of a mustard seed, and you could remove mountains. So we know this morning, it's not the amount of faith that we're lacking, but it may be just simply our lack of faith in God. And I'm here this morning to encourage us that faith is simple. When I believed for the first time, it was that simple that I didn't even realize what I had received. Like, God, I just all in simple faith, I just believed that God did what he said he would, that he saved me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in Abraham and his testimony, or in Noah, or Daniel, or David, but our faith is in God. Our faith is childlike. It must be the faith of a child. Very simple, innocent, kind of ignorant, just believing God. When your children come to you and they have a hurt and they just come expecting someone to take care of it, right? It's just simple faith. And they just come and they're crying, and all it takes is the love of a mother or a father or someone to recognize they have hurt and to put some cream on and a Band-Aid. And they're okay most of the time. But our faith must be simple. Or it is. God sees that simple faith. When we have faith like a child. Faith is standing with God even when we don't see results. Just because you have faith in God this morning doesn't say everything's going to be okay. Or at least from your standpoint. Just because you have faith that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean that you're ever going to feel alone. There may be times when you feel alone. There's been times throughout my life since I'm a Christian. Different words that God spoke to me. Different words that God spoke to my wife and I. Only to find years later, wondering if that's what God said actually. Like, why is this if God said that? Excuse me. And what is? Faith is standing with God even when we don't see results. Do you think Daniel in the lion's den had any, at one point, wavered in his faith? We would just say, well, no, of course not. But he probably did. Abraham, do you think he wavered his faith? I mean, according to Romans, it says he didn't. He didn't. We'll look at that a little later. But, like, they were just real people like you and I. But they had faith that despite what they believe or what they feel, they had faith in God. They knew that what God said was going to come to pass, even though, as Paul said, just a lot of wrestling is going inside him. And there was wrestlings. He was despaired, but yet he wasn't beaten down, or he was, you name the list. He had faith in God, and yet we deal with the reality of living in the moment, and we at times our faith we got to see something. We need something we can grasp hold of, and at times God allows us just a glimpse or to experience that. In Romans 1:8, I mean Rome, Rome is where Paul was killed, right? He went to Rome, and there he ended up dying as a martyr, and yet there was a strong church in Rome. And Paul has the letter to the Romans is very deep, and it explains a lot what I'm trying to explain this morning, just of maybe especially in the life of Abraham. But in Romans 1:8, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Like, Rome had a faith that the whole world knew about. And there were people from the whole world knew about this, the faith that was in Rome. And I guess I was thinking, what was going on in Rome? How did they hear of the faith that was in Rome? I mean, you can't really read in Acts that there was any great miracles as far as, you know, a lion's den experience or whatever. Like, it was, what was their faith that the people heard about? And I think it was just simply that they believed Jesus Christ for their Savior, and they lived. Their lives were changed. I know yesterday was the funeral of John Kaufman, and I was challenged yesterday, the by the tribute that was read to John. And I guess this morning I was just, or since yesterday, just thinking about how important it is, or I guess it was just put on my heart that, you know, I should write a tribute to my mom now. You know, it's great to read it off at a funeral, but I was just challenged that, you know, I should do that today. Write a tribute to my mom, what I all appreciate. I mean, that is very powerful to be able to read something like that at a funeral. and then as well to my dad. But, you know, John didn't have a life of ease or just all glory. He had challenges in his life, just like the rest of us. But even maybe more so than some, but he stayed faithful. He didn't give up the faith, even though I'm sure there was mistakes made. But I guess what I want to look at in Romans 3, 4, and 5, how it talks about Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Like, there may be times we fail, but it's not to the point where we give up the faith. Now, I'm sure John had times where it was challenging and probably tempted to just forget it all, but he didn't. And therefore, you know, our failings or our weaknesses are not really held against us. We're fallen humans. And I was thinking there yesterday in the graveyard, there he was laying. I just had to think of Adam. I mean, imagine Adam. That's where Adam would have been at one point. He formed him with the dust or the clay, and he formed man, but he was nothing until he breathed into him a living soul, or he breathed into him the breath of life. And we see that if the spirit departs from us, we become dead because the spirit leaves us. But I think that John, we believe that John continued on in the faith until the end, despite all those things that were against him. And I believe that's where God wants us. Let's go to Romans 3. I'm going to read a good portion here. Romans 3, 21, all the way through 5, 11. And this is talking about Abraham. All right. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. We're all guilty this morning. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. We're saved through faith. By grace through faith is what it says in Ephesians. We're saved through faith. Okay, 4 verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Are your sins covered this morning? You are a blessed man or a woman. Like God is like this. I don't see it. He just, you know, I've done that already when I was a little boy. I'm not going to look, you know. You just deliberately, I'm not going to look because somebody wanted to show you something. But God is just like, no, I'm not going to look. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. God covers his eyes from you. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Was he in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, God's promise to Abraham and to everyone whose faith is, we are part of this promise. It was made when Abraham was still in uncircumcision. The promise is to everyone. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them, all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. It's a seal of his righteousness of faith, which he had. Like, his righteousness was imputed to him because he believed God. It had nothing to do with circumcision or uncircumcision. God counted that righteousness because he believed what God said. He had a promise, God spoke, and he believed it. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Look what he says here. Who against hope believed in hope. Like, there was no hope in Abraham's life that he would be a father of many nations. But he hoped against hope. His hope was, his faith was, God said, and he could proclaim that he is going to be a father of many nations. He hoped against hope. He hoped against. He who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now that doesn't quite make sense to us, because we think God, we would say Abraham staggered, or Abraham took things in his own hands. He's seen. He's getting old. He had this promise, and he decided maybe to get married to one of his maids, and through that, maybe God would bless him and raise this many descendants. But I guess as a thought of this, he staggered not at the promise of God, it says, through unbelief. Like, Abraham's faith was still that God would do what he said, and yet, in the moment, would say he just kind of decided, well, maybe this is what God meant. And I guess I was just challenged by that in my own life, because there's verses, there's promises that I know God spoke to me in the past. And yet today, there's times when I struggle through that. I'm like, what did God mean by that? But just because we don't understand the whole picture, we don't understand everything, let's don't lose our faith. We continue on to press through, even when things don't look like they're working out to what we thought or have been confident that God spoke. He staggered not. When God saw Abraham, this is what he saw. That he never staggered at what God said to him. And I believe this morning, that's the way God looks at you and I. Excuse me. I believe this morning, that's the way God looks at you and I. When we continue through, even when things don't make sense and it seems like it's not coming to pass, we can trust that God looks at us like this. He staggered not at the promise of God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This whole story was for us as well, that we can see this is God. It says, therefore, in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. We're counted righteous. How can we have faith in that? What gives us even just that? What would make us choose to have faith that that's true? Like, how do I know that I'm justified this morning? It's not because I kind of feel better or I feel like I'm justified. I feel right this morning or whatever. I just feel like everything's taken care of. I don't have any grudges. Like, it's greater than that. It's just simply believing in God, like having faith in God. We must stand there. Our faith has to be based on what God said. Therefore, being justified by faith, because of what I just read here, Abraham, because of the story of our father Abraham. And yet he's not our father, but he is, how would you say, a picture of those who believe. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations. Wow, that's not an easy one. Do we glory in tribulations? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience in us. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Thank you, Lord. He imputed his righteousness into us. And we can believe that this morning by faith because of the story of Abraham. And it just goes on to explain that. I'm going to look at Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 18. It's the armor of God. There is so many verses on faith. We're just going to look at a few this morning. But faith is all over the New Testament, and it's full of stories in the Old Testament of men of God who walk by faith. But look here what it says. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And here it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But above all, the shield of faith. The shield is to protect. When you have a shield, it's to protect. When a dart or a sword would come towards you, you would hold it out and protect it. And especially your vital area. I don't know how big those shields were, but I usually imagine probably enough to cover you. Like, I don't know. But it's a shield of faith. When the enemy comes and he casts accusations towards you, or he throws his darts at you to take you down, we can take the shield of faith and quench those darts. We hold up by faith. I mean, we don't have a literal shield, but it's just, God, I know. I mean, I've had people curse me already. But by faith, it doesn't affect me because I have a shield of faith. When people speak evil against you falsely, take that shield of faith. God, no, I know that this is what you said. And even if you have a word from the Lord that he spoke to you in a time of testing, and you find yourself doubting, take up the shield of faith. God, no, I know this is what you said. I'm standing here. I believe that was the faith that our forefathers stood on, just the word of God. And Joshua, in the battle, he just somehow thought about it, that if this sun goes down, we're going to lose this battle with the Amalekites maybe. And he thought, well, what if God would just let the sun shine a little bit longer? And he asked the sun to stand still. I mean, what made him even think of that? Like, he just had faith that God was, he knew for one thing, God wanted the Amalekites completely wiped out, and he knew if it gets dark, they're going to lose, or at least not completely do what he needed. And I believe it was just a thought. I mean, God could have just rained hail and fire down on them like he did other times, but Joshua had faith that God would do that, and through that, they wiped them out. But when God speaks to you, don't give up in a time of testing or trial. Don't let that take your faith. Stay with it. Stay with God. God is, have faith in God. Philemon verses 4 through 7, it says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. That was just music to Paul, to hear that that Philemon had this kind of love and faith toward Jesus Christ and the saint. But it says that the communication, he's praying, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul recognized, or he was just praying, that the faith that's in Philemon, that it would be effectual as he acknowledges the good in him. But it was in Christ Jesus. When you recognize, when we recognize there's something that God is working in us, out of us, or whatever, to acknowledge that, our faith becomes effectual when we acknowledge what God is doing. When we give testimony of what God is doing in us. We have the Old Testament full of men who their faith became effectual because they knew who was working. They were empowered by God. They were moved by God. And the New Testament is just full of encouragement. Stay with the faith. Don't lose your faith. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Don't let your faith fail. Stay with your faith. Jesus said he knew Peter would fail, but he didn't want his faith to fail. Like, he wanted Peter to stay with it. Where you're walking, where you believe, what you believe and have said, that what did Peter all say? I mean, Jesus said of Peter, you're on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Peter said, you alone have the words of life and you're the son of the living God. In other words, Peter had the faith. And Jesus just said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And I believe it was just simply, he might have been right here where he said that Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. In other words, I heard it explained this way. Satan was demanding access to you, Peter. Satan is demanding that I have access. I am. But he's not giving him access. And yet he did. Peter failed drastically, denying Christ. And yet Peter's faith stayed true. There's times when we fail. There's times when we miss it. But don't lose the faith. Keep the faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. It comes out. As we have faith in God, we can continue in that faith. I'm going to read My Utmost for His Highest. It was on May 1st, I think. On May 1st. It was the faith to persevere. And I'm going to end with this then. But, gentlemen, you can close then. But the faith to persevere. Perseverance means more than endurance, more than simply holding on to the end. A saint's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see. But our Lord continues to stretch and strain. And every once in a while, the saint says, I can't take anymore. And yet God pays no attention. He goes right on stretching until his purpose is in sight. We get there sometimes where we're just like, God, how do you expect us to continue in this? This is too much. And yet he doesn't pay any attention. He keeps right on stretching until his purpose is in sight, and then he lets the arrow fly. Entrust yourself to God's hands. Is there something in your life for which you need perseverance right now? Maintain that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through the perseverance of faith. Proclaim as Job did, though you slay me, yet will I trust in him. Faith is not some weak and pitiful emotion. It is strong and vigorous confidence built on the fact that God is holy love. Or his love is holy. H-O-L-Y. And even though you cannot see him right now, you cannot understand what he's doing, you know him. Disaster incurs in your life when you lack the mental composure that comes from establishing yourself on the eternal truth that God is holy. Look, faith is the supreme effort of your life, throwing yourself with abandon and total confidence upon God. Like, I believe in the same way when a child comes to his mother or her mother, and they just have that confidence that, you know, what they ask, they're going to get. Within its means, it's impossible to withhold. Like, it's just hard to withhold something. When a child comes with all goodness in his heart and has a desire for something that he knows that we would have to give, it's just impossible to withhold it. And I guess if we throw ourselves, completely, totally abandon ourselves because of what we believe God said, I believe it moves God. God ventured his all in Jesus Christ to save us. And now he wants to venture our all with total abandon, confidence in him. There are areas in our lives where that faith has not worked in us as yet. Places still untouched by the life of God. There were none of these in places in Jesus Christ's life, and there are to be none in ours. Jesus prayed, "This is eternal life, that you may know you, that they may know you." The real meaning of eternal life is a life that can face anything it has to face without wavering. If we will take this view, life will become one great romance, a glorious opportunity of seeing wonderful things all the time. God is disciplining us to get us into this central place of power. And I don't believe it's as a place where we're just going to have power now to do this and that and the other thing. It's just simply having that faith that whatever it is that God is trying to work out of us, trying to create his character in us, if we're going through a trial or a testing of your faith, even when you know that you have committed everything and all to him, we know that in trial, God works out his eternal purpose in us. And I remember years ago when there was a moment in my life where God just broke my heart, and there was more recent, you know, and it was just by faith God spoke in that moment, and it just freed my life up. And the weight just rolled off, right? And it's just like, now there's times when I feel that weight. And what I try to do is go back and recreate that same thing, and it don't work. Because it's a works now. And it wasn't like a faith. When we go back and try to recreate that same experience, because that's where I received relief the last time, all of a sudden we're trying a works thing. We must come in the same way we did then. Just, God, I don't know what to do, and lean completely on him. David, he fought one battle one way, and the next time it was stay. The one time it was go, the next time it was stay. But like, we must know what God is saying in your battle at this time. Don't try to recreate some kind of experience that you've had years ago or in the past. But we must just, in faith, come, for this is different. God has a different way of delivering this time. And make sure the sword of the Spirit is sharp. But let's don't use it to wound people. It's to kill the enemy, not to just cast darts and wound people with it. It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is used to defeat the enemy in battle. So let's remember that. Keep the faith.